serving God. In the book of Luke, Jesus counseled us to count the cost. You know, Jesus never asked people to follow him blindly. He said, first you count the cost. You figure out what it's going to cost you to follow me. He told them. He said, you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. He said, I didn't come here to bring peace. They said, I brought a sword. He said, sometimes fathers are going to be against sons and mothers against daughters and children against parents. He said, that's just the way it's going to be, and that's the way it is in some households. He said, it's not going to be an easy road. Don't you think it's going to be? As a matter of fact, he said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to pick up your cross daily and follow me. So he said, you count the cost about this. He didn't come with a bunch of flowery words trying to deceive people. He said, if you follow me, it's going to be tough. It's going to at times be extremely difficult. He said, so count the cost. Count the cost. Amen. And so he told us to do that. Now, when you go and you look for a job, there's a whole lot more involved than just pay. One of the things that you ask whenever, or you want to know about when you apply for a job, is what are the benefits? Well, one thing is, if you get a job and make a little money, you won't starve to death. That's a benefit. Amen. So there's a recompense, or there's a pay that comes. What is my salary? And on top of that, many companies have other benefits, and some pay your insurance. Boy, that's a big benefit today. And there's others that have a retirement plan. Working for God has a retirement plan that's out of this world. And then some have opportunities for education and advancement, extra training. My advice is learn everything you can. And then some have vacations and holidays paid for. Then there's others that have sick days and personal days. So jobs can have a lot of benefits. And sometimes the benefits are worth as much as the salary. So working for God, what are the benefits? David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Even David, if you remember, when David was going out to fight with Goliath, you remember what he asked? He said he asked one more time before he finally went out there. He was ready to go, but he asked one more time. He said, what shall be done to him? In other words, what's the benefits of me going out here and fighting with this giant? And they said, well, you'll win the king's daughter's hand in marriage. That's cool. And your family will be free from taxes. Whoa, that's really cool. No more IRS. He said, let me at him. Amen. But David said, what are the benefits? And then he writes here about the benefits of serving the Lord. First of all, he mentions in the next verse, after that, verse number 3, he said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. You know, we live in a world where everybody's looking to blame somebody. There are no accidents anymore. No, there's not any accidents. If something happens, it's got to be somebody's fault, and somebody's got to pay. There aren't any accidents anymore. My bad doesn't cut it. I'm sorry. forgive me doesn't work in this world. But thank God he's not a man. With God there is forgiveness. Hallelujah. There's forgiveness with the Lord. Praise God. And when God forgives, he forgives completely. Amen. As a matter of fact, he wipes it from his memory. Amen. He completely blots out our transgressions. Hallelujah. What a great God. I love this verse number 12 where it talks about God's forgiveness. He said that he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. You know what's cool about going east? Is that you always go east. Always. If you circle the globe 10,000 times, you'll still be going east. Now, if you start going north, once you get up to the pole, you'll start going south. So he didn't say that he would remove our sins as far as the north is from the south, because that would just be halfway and you'd meet them again. He said, but when I forgive, it's like going east where you'll never ever meet your sins again. Hey, that's forgiveness. That's forgiveness. Hallelujah. Thank God for forgiveness. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I heard the story of a servant that was caught stealing from the queen. And she came before the queen and she begged for her life and she begged for mercy. And finally the queen said, all right. She said, I will forgive you. She said, and I will pardon you. She said, but I will never see your face again. And the woman cried out and she said, no, no, no. She said, that's not mercy. That's just pardon. She said, I want to continue. I'll work for you the rest of my days. Please don't send me from your presence. God knows the difference between pardon and forgiveness. When God forgives us, friend, he restores us. I understand why we need restitution and people need a time to recuperate and to regain the confidence of people. But let me tell you something. God already knows your heart. He doesn't need time to find out if you're going to do it or not, because he already knows. When God forgives, he forgives completely. When the younger son returned home, the father didn't say, now son, he said, you work out there a little bit, and next week I'll let you come a little closer. And if you do real good, the next week you can come a little closer, and you can work your way back home. Is that what he did? No, sir. He ran. He threw his arms around him. He said, bring the best robe. He said, put a ring on his hand. He said, put shoes on his feet. Hallelujah. And then he called him, my son. You know, we are not like that in our forgiveness. I'll forgive you, but at an arm's length. Prove yourself. You can sit on the back seat and work your way forward. Amen. But God forgives. Hallelujah. Thank God. That's a benefit, folks. That's a benefit. Anybody need forgiveness? Anybody need mercy? Hallelujah. I think of that lady back in the old days when they used to take pictures for photos of our portraits. They used to make proofs. Anybody remember proofs? They'd take the pictures and then you'd come in and you'd look at the proofs. I don't know what it was proof of, but that's what you had to do. And so the lady went in to look at the proofs and she got really upset. She said, sir, I do not believe these do me justice. And the man said, you don't need justice. You need mercy. Amen. That's what I like when I go to take pictures. I like mercy, not justice. Amen. Come on, camera, make me look as good as you can. Please be forgiving. I need all the help I can get. But God has mercy. God forgives. That's a benefit. You won't find that just anywhere. Amen. But Jesus not only forgives, but he also commanded us to forgive. He said, if you forgive your brother his trespasses, your Father in heaven will forgive you your trespasses. But if you forgive not your brother his trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. God is serious about this forgiveness business. You don't have the luxury of holding a grudge. Hear me. Hear me. You don't have the luxury, because every one of us need mercy. Every one of us need forgiveness regularly. And we don't have the luxury of holding something over somebody's head and withholding forgiveness. Plus, my goodness, what does that do to you? Isn't it miserable whenever you don't forgive somebody? Amen. Have you ever tried to sleep in the same bed with somebody that you had an argument with and then hadn't reconciled things? Now, I know nobody here has done that. There are people that have. You ever got the silent treatment or given somebody the silent treatment? You're smiling. I know I'm hitting home. Some are frowning. That's even worse. Yeah, forgiveness is a great benefit in the kingdom of God. And if we are to be forgiven, we must also forgive others. I love 1 John 1:19, and Scripture said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everybody say all unrighteousness. Amen. There's nothing that he won't pardon. He can forgive, will forgive all sin. Amen. Praise God. So God is a forgiving God. Hallelujah. God is a healing God. The Scripture said, not only does he forgive us, but it says that he also heals us. He heals all. Everybody say all? By diseases. The Lord's a healing God. Anybody here been healed? Anybody experience healing in your body? Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the benefit of serving God. Hallelujah. It's a benefit that God is a God that heals. Amen. James said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad we still believe that scripture. There's a lot of places they don't practice that, but I'm glad that we still practice that. Amen. The healing's not in the pastor's fingertip, and it's not in the oil that he puts on your head. Amen. The healing's in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And God is still in the healing business. God still heals. That's a benefit of serving God. Hallelujah. Amen. Salvation. Oh, what a benefit. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? That's our God. Amen. He redeems our life from destruction. Amen. We were headed for hell head first when Jesus Christ stepped in and stopped us on our way. Amen. And saved us from ourselves. And saved us from our sins. Hallelujah. Amen. Salvation. Praise God. That is that he lifted us out and gave us a change. I tell you, this is a real thing we're talking about here tonight. It's just as much of a change as can possibly happen. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creation. Something brand new. I don't know what happened to you when you got the Holy Ghost, how you may have felt, but I'm telling you, friend, I was a new person. I didn't think the same way. I didn't feel the same way. I didn't act the same way. Still don't. Hallelujah. Praise God. He redeemed us. He saved us. That's a great thing. That's something you cannot do. Brother Holly used to tell us in How Truly, he said, a man can worship himself, but he cannot save himself. A man may be his own God, but he cannot be his own Savior. Amen. You cannot lift yourself up by your bootstraps. If you want to go up higher, you got to find something that's higher than you are. Amen. That's why David said, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Thou hast been a shelter for me. Get a hold of something that's higher, something that's greater, something that's better, something that can elevate, something that can deliver, something that can bring you out. That's what salvation is. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Acts 2:38 is still the real thing, friend. Amen. Repent. Amen. Not only to tell God you're sorry, but tell God you're going the different direction. I've been walking the wrong way. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go the right way. Hallelujah. That's what repentance is. Amen. It's not just saying I'm sorry, but it's saying I'm through. I'm finished. No more. Going the other way now. Praise God. Repentance. Amen. And then baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's still necessary. That's still beautiful. That still takes care of the past. That still deals with your sins, not only in the past, but anything that will happen in the future. Praise God. It's saying, I'm dead to the old life. I'm dead to the old way. I'm dead to the old man. And if the old man resurrects momentarily, I'll bury him again. Hallelujah. Thank God for baptism. Yes, sir. I remember when I was baptized how clean I felt. Amen. I remember when I repented how clean I felt. There's nothing in the world like that. You can't get that from zest. Amen. And you can't get it from Dial. And you can't get it from Irish Spring or even Tide. Amen. You can drink a gallon and you still can't get clean on the inside. Just won't do it. Amen. It takes repentance, baptism. It's what cleanses you. And then the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We rise to walk in newness of life. Amen. Praise God. I've heard people give all kinds of explanations of this verse that didn't have the Holy Ghost. And those that didn't have the Holy Ghost, all of them tried to explain it away. All, every one of them that has never received the Holy Ghost, people that have never talked in tongues want to explain away tongues. Amen. But we don't have to explain away anything, folks, because we're tongue talkers. Amen. And we're Holy Ghost filled. Amen. I'm not trying to be smart aleck here tonight or trying to put anybody down. But friend, if you want to know something about an experience, go to somebody that's got it. Don't go to somebody that doesn't have it, never has had it, and don't believe in it. If you want to know something about somebody that really understands, go to somebody that has received it. Ask them. Thank God for salvation tonight. It's a great benefit. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, if God had wanted to, he could have just caused us, when we sin, we would have died, and that's it. But he made a way to redeem us. He made a way to restore us. And thank God, that's his mercy, and that's his grace. So God, he satisfies us, or he brings salvation into our lives. He said he crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Woo! Hallelujah. Loving kindness and tender mercies. The Bible said that the Lord pities us as a father pities his child. Now, we don't use that word pity very much anymore in a positive sense in our culture. But it's just simply talking about having compassion. God has compassion on us. Like a real father has compassion on his child. Amen. I know when our children do something that we disagree with, we don't disown them. It doesn't make us stop loving them. Right? I hope I'm right here tonight. That's right. Amen. You don't agree with some things they do. You may not even agree with their whole lifestyle. But you don't quit loving them. Amen. You have compassion on them. You'll do anything you can to help them. Amen. Because that's the way God's loving kindness is. He's still merciful. He's still compassionate. He's still kind to us. He's still good to us, even when we're not being good to ourselves. I've heard people ask the question, does God really punish people? Well, I think the right answer to that is he doesn't have to. All he has to do is let you do what you want to do. Live in the flesh, and you will punish and destroy yourself. The more selfish people are, the more miserable they are. You know any selfish people? If you do, they're miserable people. Anybody that says, it doesn't matter what they got to have more. Doesn't matter what you've done, you got to do more. Amen. And what other people have, they want that too. Amen. They're just selfish. And they're miserable people. And they make other people miserable. And they're destroying themselves. Selfishness does that. So God doesn't have to punish you. People that are selfless just punish themselves. Destroy themselves. Have no joy in life. No matter what they've got, they can't enjoy it because they look what somebody else has. And they don't enjoy what they do have. Hello, is that all right? Well, I could preach a little bit on that, but I don't want to meddle here too much. Amen. Praise God. The Bible said if you have food and raiment, he said, therewith be what? What did he say? Content. Yeah, he said if you've got clothes on and you have food to eat, be happy. Now, do we really believe that? Amen. Praise God. Just be happy. Praise the Lord. But what do? We look through a closet that you can't stuff another thing in it. And we say, we open a refrigerator that's full, go over to the cabinet, can't find a thing to eat. Hmm? Amen. Well, I told you I wasn't going to meddle. Amen. But be happy. Be happy. Be happy. Be content. Amen. Praise God. God wants us to live in contentment and happiness. Amen. Being satisfied. Praise the Lord. He'll supply. He always has. Amen. Look at verse number 5. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. Amen. Well, I skipped over it in verse 5. Let me go back and read that one then. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's provision. God will take care of you. When the psalmist said in Psalm 37 and 25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God does supply. Amen. Praise God. He has a way of taking care of, notice this, the righteous. You can't take care of some people. I'll tell you where the majority of poverty comes from in the United States of America is lifestyle. You can't blow your money on drink and drugs. and expect to have a good life. You can't spend your money on parties and lottery tickets and expect to have a good life. If you squander your resources foolishly, you're going to live your life in need, because you are throwing away the very things that can take care of you. And the vast majority of the problems in our country are because of people that don't take care of their finances. Amen. Another way to get in trouble is don't pay your tithes. That's right. Now, I believe that. Amen. I believe, because I'm a tither. I wouldn't preach to you about tithing if I didn't do it. But I know one thing, that God is going to take care of me. If I take care of His business, then He'll take care of my business. But if I don't take care of His business, He has no obligation to me whatsoever. Amen. Praise God. And so God will provide. He does. And God provides graciously, generously, and beautifully. Amen. If you just take care of business, folks. Amen. Now, you can't expect God to take care of you when you never get enough. And you've got to have everything you see. Is that all right? Is that fair? Amen. When God gives you money, I've heard people say, well, you know, whenever I get ahead, I'm going to start paying my tithes. Well, I know when you're going to start paying your tithes. Never. Because the devil makes sure that you've always got something to spend it on. As a matter of fact, you pay tithes, you just don't pay it where God intends you to. You'll pay it on car repairs and things that break down in your house, on appliances and having things fixed and having things done and doctor bills. You'll spend it all kinds of places. Amen. Yes, you will. Things that I believe God would spare us a lot of things if we'd just cooperate with Him. But if we don't, then we have problems. Amen. It seems like I read somewhere, it said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Added. Added. Who's going to add them? God will. The Bible said that if we honor the Lord, we give to the Lord, we do what we're supposed to do. He said, men will give under your bosom, because people used to carry their money right here inside their coat. So he's going to say, people give you money to put in here. That's right. And so, you know, God doesn't have a printing press of His own. He don't need one. Somebody one time asked me, they were a little facetious, they said, well, how do you give money to God? You always talking about giving your money to God. You take your money and just wave it and say, God, here's your money, come and get it. They were being facetious. They said, what does God need money for? I said, you're right. God doesn't need money, but His body does. My spirit doesn't need money, but my body does. Because my body has to be fed, and it needs shelter, and it needs to be clothed. My body has to have things, not my spirit. God is a spirit, but His body, which is the church, has things that it needs, such as building to worship in, money to pay the bills, amen, money for evangelism, praise God. So, you see, we need things, the body does. And that's why we give. That's how you give to God, is you give to His body. Amen. Praise the Lord. That good? That's good stuff, Brother Grissom. Thank you, sir. Thank you for telling us that. My, we need to hear that. What if you, on your job, you worked all week, it's payday, and you went to get your paycheck, and they said, this week we needed your money because we had something break down, and And so we had to get that fixed, so we can't pay you this week. And you'd say, oh, that's okay. I'm happy to contribute. Huh? But we do that to God when it comes to tithing sometimes, right? Well, Lord, you know, I need this to do this. I mean, this thing's on sale. It'll never be on sale again. I will never find it for this price again. If I don't get it now. Amen. Isn't this fun? Amen. God provides. That's a benefit of serving God. He provides for us. Amen. He takes care of us. So much better. I love this from Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Paul said, but my God, it's got to be personal. He has to be your God. He can't just be grandpa's God or grandma's God or mama's God or daddy's God. Paul said, but he's my God. Personal. Shall. Not maybe. Not if. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you have a need, you have a promise that God shall supply that need. Isn't that right? Know what that says? Is that fair enough? Amen. We've got a promise that says he will do it if it's a need in our life. Now, that doesn't cover wants, but it does cover needs. Amen. Praise God. So God has made promises for provision. Amen. The Bible says that God will give us righteousness. How many like to be right? Everybody in here needs to raise your hand because every one of you wants to be right. You ever had an argument? Why'd you argue? Because I'm right! I know I'm right! You like righteousness. You like to be right. Amen. But God gives us true righteousness. He makes us right in our spirit. You know when you're right in your spirit and when you're not, don't you? When you're right in your spirit, you have peace. When you're not right in your spirit, you're troubled. Amen. So we know what righteousness is. And God gives us righteousness. Hallelujah. God gives us good judgment. That's a wonderful thing to have, good judgment. Not everybody has good judgment, but God gives us good judgment. I'm glad for that. We could call it wisdom. The scripture said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives liberally. Amen. I thank God for good judgment. You know, the world's wisdom says, don't drink and drive. Great wisdom says, don't drink. Amen. Worldly wisdom says, smoke filtered cigarettes. True wisdom says, don't smoke at all. Amen. Well, I could go on with that, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but the world's got its own wisdom, and then God has his wisdom. That's right. God has his wisdom. Amen. If you don't want AIDS, there's a good way not to get AIDS. The world has it saying, practice safe sex. That's the world's wisdom. God's wisdom says, you marry one wife, one husband, and you stay with them faithfully for a lifetime. Amen. You see, God has wisdom. God has judgment. And good judgment leads to a good life. Amen. You can have a good life simply by avoiding a lot of stuff that God says to avoid. It's just good for you to do so. Amen. So God is good to us. He gives us judgment. Amen. He allows us to think correctly. Amen. And then God is a just judge. And that's a hard thing to find. I'm going to tell you something. Being a judge is not an easy job. It's not an easy job. Amen. Let me give you an example. A sweet missionary lady in South America got on a crowded train and knew that on crowded trains in South America, thieves and pickpockets abound. So she took her watch and she was guarding it, she looked down and she saw that her watch was missing. And just as she saw her watch was missing, she saw a man putting a watch in a bag. And she knew he had stolen her watch. So she got behind the man, being bold. She got behind the man and took her umbrella and put it in the middle of his bag. And she said, "Give me the bag." And the guy, of course, not knowing what was in his bag, gave her the bag. So she carries the bag home and looks on her dresser, and there is her watch. She had stolen a man's watch in a city of millions of people. Now, how are you going to judge that? She's a thief. Undoubtedly, she is a thief. A missionary, but she's a thief. How you judge that? If you're going to be a judge, it's not an easy job. But God judges justly because God knows all of the facts correctly. He knows not only what happened, but He knows why it happened. He knows the motive behind it all. And He mixes mercy with judgment. So God is worthy to judge. That's why Romans chapter 12, 19 said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves." That's what that little lady did. She just assumed that somebody stole her watch when they didn't. She was avenging herself. "Beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath." Amen. Don't let wrath control you. It is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You see, that's good judgment, isn't it? Amen. We're not here to be avengers. We're not here to always... what is the saying that they have now? "No, I don't get mad, I get even." Amen. Well, that's not God's word. Amen. You can be angry because you can't help but be angry. That's a normal reaction. But He said, "Be angry, but sin not." Amen. So we have to give judgment to God. Now, if we really understand salvation as we ought to understand salvation, we'd want to know for everyone to be saved, wouldn't we? Or would we? And if that's true, then even the people that we're angry with, we want them to be saved. And if they're going to be saved, they're going to be saved through our kindness, not through our vengeance. Amen. And so the Bible says God, then he's a God of good judgment. And He gives us good judgment. Amen. And that's a benefit, folks. That's a benefit. You don't have to go through life trying to right all the wrongs. That would be an impossible task. You can just live your life and trust God. Go and do good, all the good that you can do. And trust God to take care of the wrongdoings. Amen. You can lay awake at night fighting that battle. "They said, and I said, and they said, and I should have said, and they said, and I'm going to say." You can do that all night long. I don't know what I'm talking about here, but I've heard people say things like this. Hello. And we've done that, haven't we? We've had that argument. All the way, just thinking, I'm going to tell next time. Oh, yeah. And if we could learn to just let it go, oh, what peace of mind we would have. Just let it go. But they did me wrong. Well, God's going to take care of that. God's going, but they owe me money. Well, God's going to take care of that. Amen. Whatever it is, let God take care of it. And you just go ahead and live in peace. Amen. That sounds good to me. I don't know how that sounds to you, but that just makes good sense. Just go ahead and be in peace. Let God take care of the judgment business. And could I just go one step further? It would even kind of be good to do that in church. Instead of pointing yourself the judge of how everybody's supposed to do. And knowing, you know how everybody's got to live to your standard, right? That would be a good answer to that. A brother asked a brother one time that, you know, he was one of those guys that kind of judged everybody. And he asked him, he said, brother, he said, would you fellowship somebody that didn't have as high a standard as you do? He said, never. Never. He said, would you fellowship somebody that had a greater standard? He said, oh yeah. He said, why? Do you want to corrupt him? Amen. But some of us, you know, we want to judge everybody. We don't know what's going on. We don't know the situations that we want to judge everybody. We don't know where they came from. Doesn't matter. We want to judge. Be careful. You be careful. Judgment belongs to the Lord. Amen. Judgment belongs to the Lord. He did. You're not going. You didn't die for the church. You didn't give your life and your blood for the church. Amen. But you'll gladly give your tongue to the church. So you just let God be the judge and take care of business. Amen. I've had people come and want me to take things. Well, I'm going to let God take care of some things. I have taken care of a few things. And you know what? I lost some good people over that. But I've learned. I've preached to people, and here's an interesting thing about preaching. I've preached to people, and I will preach, and I'll preach, and I'll preach, and then the evangelist will come by and preach the same thing. And they'll go, whoa, the light came on. Man, I've never heard that before. Huh? But that's okay as long as you get it. Amen. And it takes some people a long time for the light to come on. But it finally does. I've preached to some people for 7-8 years, and all of a sudden, they get it. Amen. Took a while. But that's okay. They got it. It gives me hope that other people may get it someday. Could I just ask you this? If people don't live like we want them to live, should we just not let them come? And if we don't, how can they be saved? Do we preach the truth? Do we preach the truth? Where else are they going to hear it? Who else is going to be an example to them? Who else is going to help them? Your life may be not only a witness of good, but a witness of conviction to somebody. But they'll be a whole lot better converted by your example than by your criticism. Now I'm through with judgment. Praise God. And we're going to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heaven is a benefit of serving God. Hallelujah. Amen. What a benefit that is. Amen. I love what Jesus said. John 14:1-3, we read this a lot. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's the place we call heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Where Jesus is, that's going to be heaven, folks. Amen. He said, "But I'm going to prepare a place for you." And then Revelation 21:1-5, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall deliver them, or he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write these words, for these words are true and faithful." God said he's going to prepare a heaven for us. Amen. I still believe that. I still believe that. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said that we sit in heavenly places right here on the earth. That's what we do when we worship. And we get lost and we have peace, we have joy, we have excitement. We can't hardly contain ourselves. We're in heavenly places. Amen. You can do that in your living room. You can do that in your car driving down the highway. Be careful. Be careful. Keep your eyes open. Amen. Watch and pray. That's what the scripture says. Watch and pray. Amen. But you can experience heaven just almost anywhere. But there's a place called heaven that God said, "I'm preparing for you." And that's a benefit. Folks, there's a lot of benefits to serving God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a lot of benefits to serving God. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you may have it more abundantly." Amen. Praise God. God doesn't want you just to live. He wants you to have an abundant life. Amen. He wants you to have a life that's overflowing. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we're not to get success confused with toys and stuff. That's a mistake the world makes. There's a doctrine that goes around that God wants you to be rich. Not necessarily. Not with this world's goods. I mean, that doesn't mean anything. If a person has a lot of stuff, it doesn't mean he's wrong, or it doesn't mean he's right. It just means he's got a lot of stuff. It doesn't mean he's happy even. Praise God. There's some big houses in this city that have unhappy people living in them. Amen. Their garages are full and their houses are full and their hearts are empty. That's not where it's at. Amen. But a happy life. It's just simply a life where God, Jesus is Lord. He sits on the throne. And he helps you make right judgments and right decisions. And you live in peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And that's as good as you can ask for in this life. And that's as good as you can ask for in this life. Praise the Lord. Amen. What price can you put on peace? Oh, it's just one of the greatest things There's nothing. You can't buy it in a grocery store. You can't buy it on a psychiatrist's couch. You can't buy it in a pill bottle. You can't buy it in a syringe. And you can't buy it in a bottle. Amen. Peace comes from the Prince of Peace. Amen. And he said, my peace passes all understanding. Oh, the peace of God. The joy of the Lord. Now, joy is not just happiness. You can get happy, amen, lots of ways. But joy is something that just bubbles up. And it doesn't have any, inspired by any reason or any situation. I've had joy in the strangest times. Haven't you? Amen. I have found myself in some of the saddest, most lonely parts of life. Amen. And just that joy is just there. There's a song there. Amen. Praise God. I used to say that I wasn't a morning person. But I've changed my mind. You know why? Because I get up in the morning and I find myself singing and humming. So I guess I'm not so bad, huh? Just because I didn't want to get up, it don't take me long to get to want to. Amen. Praise God. I mean, I do that before I get my first cup of coffee. Amen. Praise God. There's just a joy that comes in serving the Lord. That's a benefit. Praise God. Oh, yes. Old song said, I wouldn't take nothing from my journey now. Amen. We've come a long ways, folks. We've got a ways to go, but we're almost on. Thank you for your time, your attention here tonight. God bless you real good. We are so blessed. We are so, so blessed. We're a blessed people. Amen. Because God has given His bounty to us. All of these benefits and more. Praise the Lord. Oh, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Would you sing it to the Lord in thanksgiving? Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. One more time to the Lord. Oh, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. And when I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord together right now. Jesus, thank you for the benefits of serving you. We have listed but a few, but oh, how great they are. And how marvelous are the benefits of serving God. I thank you tonight. You are so kind and so gracious, so exceeding good. I thank you today, Lord, for all that you have given and all that you have granted. That your promises are a yea and amen. That your word is steadfast and sure. Amen. Thank you for all of your benefits. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. No wonder David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you tonight for being here. Even remember, Sunday morning, our Christmas program, Sunday night, our fellowship together. We will be having a New Year's Eve service on the 31st. We'll start late, probably about at 9 o'clock, and go to midnight. And then after that, we'll have dinner or have breakfast together. Amen. So come prepared to stay up late. Amen. And pray out an old year and pray in a new year. So we'll have a great, great time. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can't believe we're here in almost 2011. I didn't even think we're going to make it to 2000. And man, that's came and gone in a fog. Amen. But nonetheless, here we are, and thank God for it. Amen. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. God bless you. Thank you tonight. In Jesus' name.